You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, live from the Right Side Studios here, man. We cover down on the local, the state, the national. We do all of the issues. And like the dude said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. And it is, let me jump over to my comments, though. Going to get a little bit wistful today, I guess, in a sense. I got to thinking about somebody, and it made me think of somebody else. And anyway, here's the bottom line. It's amazing, truly amazing, how many people have done truly remarkable things, and they live right around us, and we don't even know. Just they live right around us without us even being aware sometimes. I mean, there's life lessons and great achievements and inspirations, and they just live right next door. I mean it when I say that there are heroes among us, and sometimes we have no idea. Case in point, some years ago, before moving back to North Alabama, Charlene and I became good friends with an older couple at our church. Rayford P. Keitel was his name. He and his wife, I've talked about him on the show before, because he was such a character. But I was really impressed when, after knowing him for a bit, I found out from someone else, not from him, but I found out from someone else that when World War II broke out, my friend, Ray Keitel, was turned down for service in the military, but not for bad reasons. It was turned down because he was deemed too vital to the war effort, because it turns out that Ray Keitel, as a technician and an engineer at Reynolds Aluminum, had helped to pioneer rolled aluminum and aluminum foil. So much of what we outfitted our troops with was made with rolled aluminum. The troops won the war, but some historians also believe that it was the U.S. manufacturing sector, with Reynolds Aluminum and Ray Keitel included, who gave those troops the edge they needed. Just a guy, a hero, living right down the road from me. Well, a few years later, my in-laws were moving to be closer to Charlene and I, and the grandkids, to be honest. And we were helping them look for houses, and we went with them to view a few in a nice older neighborhood near downtown Gadsden. And as we walked through the house that we were looking at, I couldn't help but notice that on one wall there was a frame with some military items in it, so I wandered over to take a look. And imagine, to my surprise, when I find that one of the pilots of the crews that dropped the atom bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan lived on a quiet street corner just minutes from my house. It turns out there were two planes. There was the Enola Gay that we all know about. It dropped the actual bomb. But another B-29 Super Fortress flew about an hour ahead to make sure the target site was clear. And the pilot, the young pilot of that first B-29, the one that had to enter the target space first for that record historic mission, was living on a street corner in Gadsden, Alabama. Who knew? Here's another one. I was struck by the Medal of Honor winner who lived right around the corner from me, Colonel Ola Lee Mize. I've spoken about him on the show before, too. He was a retired Green Beret, one of the founders of Army Special Forces, who earned his Medal of Honor in Korea not long after the Army had first rejected him for service for being too small and underweight. Go figure. Colonel Mize was a veteran of so many tours in different war zones, it'd make your head spin. He started the Army's Special Warfare Center, and to this day, the U.S. Army Combat Diver Training Center is named after him. Now, I knew him as an older man, but he still stalked his front yard like a bandy rooster. I mean, we would talk occasionally, but when I found the actual award citation for his Medal of Honor, it took on a whole new sense of wonder, just knowing that he lived in my neighborhood. Just a hero living among us, really. In that same neighborhood, though, was someone who became somewhat of a mentor to me. Former U.S. Congressman Jim Martin, a Goldwater Republican who believed that, or proved that, Republicans could be elected in Alabama even when it wasn't popular to be one. Jim Martin was also a World War II veteran, and he's credited as the first American officer to have discovered and opened the gates of a Nazi death camp. His stories of that day and of leading Eisenhower on the tour of Hitler's atrocities was amazing. Jim was a successful businessman, but he was also a statesman. And to this day, the state of Alabama has a trust fund filled with billions of dollars that comes from oil and gas revenues from offshore drilling in the Gulf of Mexico, because my friend Jim Martin had the foresight to take President George H.W. Bush fishing in the Gulf and twist his arm a bit. Just a guy, a hero living down the road from me. And then there's the little town of Piedmont, Alabama, that's a short hop from my house. A quiet town full of good folks living right there in the community was Medal of Honor winner Desmond Doss. A man whose heroic rescue of dozens of U.S. troops in the Pacific during World War II earned him not only the Congressional Medal of Honor, but the outright respect, even the reverence of his entire command. Desmond Doss was a man of great faith. He faced persecution, even court-martial, because he was a conscientious objector, and he refused to carry a rifle. But he was a skilled medic, and that man was hard as woodpecker lips. And he saved lives, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he saved lives, so much so that his unit got to where they would not go into battle without him, and they would wait to enter the lines until Desmond had finished praying. I have a friend who lives in the Piedmont area. She said, you know what? Until the movie Hacksaw Ridge came out a few years ago, most folks in Piedmont had no idea what Desmond Doss had even done. Just a guy. Just a quiet hero right there living among us. Listen, these folks are everywhere. They live and they work and they go to church and they eat barbecue and they attend their grandkids' school events. Some of them are veterans. Some are highly decorated. Some are businessmen or women. All have given greatly, and yet so often we have no idea. Each one of the men I just told you about, all of whom lived right here around me personally, they've all passed away in just the last decade or so. And I wonder how many people who knew them only as neighbors or fellow churchgoers were surprised when they read their obituaries. We shouldn't have to be surprised. We got to pay more attention while they're still walking among us. We need to sit and listen to their stories and be able to look them in the eye and say thank you before it's too late. In some places, like in Etowah County, for instance, we have organizations like the Etowah County Patriots Hall of Honor, which annually inducts veterans and non-veterans who have contributed greatly to the community. At the Alabama Policy Institute, we give an annual award. We call it the Policy Warrior Award, to recognize men and women both in and out of politics who have contributed admirably to the cause of good conservative policy in the state of Alabama. But more than any official recognition is the simple fact that we just need to be aware of who they are. Say thank you once in a while. Ask them about their lives and listen to their stories if they'll tell them. We got heroes among us, y'all. You just look. I'm betting some of them live right there in your own neighborhood. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, yeah, I just named a handful of men who literally impacted my life by just living in my neighborhood and me becoming aware of what they've done. And there's more, I guarantee. I got to go out and start canvassing the neighborhood, see who else lives around me. But folks, that's what we got to do. We got to be able to say thank you to them while we have the opportunity and gain from their experiences, because what they did, the things they did, they're heroes. And they just live right there among us. All right, folks, we got a great show planned for you. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. A little Black Crowes there to bring us back in. Thank you, Boomer. Good stuff, man. Got some text. The text line is open, by the way, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. If you're listening and you haven't texted before, text the word right side to that number, 833-68-RIGHT, and then tell us, like, just your first name and where you're from so we can put you in the system. You'll get a little automated message back, and after that, man, we're texting back and forth. Just got some text messages from Jeremy from Huntsville. Just basically love the intro there, the opening monologue, and same from Shelton from Harvest. Appreciate you guys. Thank you very much. Also got a text from Allie from Athens. Said that I was about to make her cry on that one. I'm sorry, Allie, but then again, I'm not. I got Paul from Athens texting in saying, I'm here and happy fry, yay! So, yep, indeed, sir, indeed. And listen, I meant what I said, though. That's the thing, man. It's so Jim Martin, the older gentleman who I told you was a Goldwater Republican, a former congressman and all that, I actually got a call one day. I was sitting in my office, and the phone rang, and I just happened to be the one who grabbed it. And somebody asked for me, and I said, well, that's me. And they said, well, this is so-and-so. I'm with the Library of Congress. And I said, okay. And they said, the Library of Congress, in conjunction with the various state-run universities around the nation, are trying to catch the oral histories of World War II veterans. We understand you know former Congressman Jim Martin. I said, I do. They said, would you be willing to be the moderator for his oral history? And I said, yeah. So really all they needed was somebody to sit there and just try to help the conversation along. Well, if you knew Jim Martin for a minute, he didn't need help with the conversation. I mean, I literally went there, and I would think that most of them, you know, they're just folks who are just humble. And Jim was very humble. But he also would come to life when he told stories. But literally, we go and sit down, and I know what their experience was. Most of the time, you have to say, well, sir, could you tell us more? And, sir, would you mind saying this? Or, ma'am, what was your experience? Can you describe how you felt? Not with Jim. All I pretty much had to do was go, well, Jim, I understand you went to the war. Well, let me tell you. And for 2.5 hours, that court reporter sat there, and her hands were worn out when she got done. I hardly had to say a word. He told stories like, you could tell that it was a time to finally unlock and just tell it all. And talk about finding that concentration camp, you know, where Jews had been exterminated, piles of bodies and everything, and then leading Eisenhower through the gate to show him. Unbelievable, man. Just on and on and on. But yeah, that was very cool. I was going to ask you, though, Boomer, anybody like you looked around and realized, wait a minute, I know that person, and I did not know they were doing those things. I mean, what?
Well, yes, I have a couple, but one that actually stands out to me is someone that I grew up with, someone that, you know, I never thought never thought he would ever become like a Navy SEAL like he did. And
is this Blake?
Yep.
I know Blake.
Yes. And when I heard stories of Blake and just, you know, who he became and such, you know, just such a hero. Awesome.
He was a little scrappy dude, like, you know, like 98 pounds soaking wet when I knew him.
I remember like at church playing like that game that we're not supposed to say anymore where you throw the ball against the wall. and then playing soccer with him. And, man, he became a Navy SEAL and did some just remarkable things.
So his family and our family were pretty tight. And, mm-hmm. and I used to just give him a hard time when he was little because I remember like in seventh or eighth grade, he'd be like, I'm going to be a Navy SEAL. I'm going to be a Navy SEAL. Sure you are. You know, whatever. Nice. Pat him on the head. Send him on his way. But then one day I was at their house. He had a little Navy SEAL recruiting poster on the refrigerator. And I put a sticky note on it, said SEALs are highly overrated. This is giving him a hard time, you know.
Yeah.
Being a Ranger, I had to do something. But daggum if he didn't become a SEAL.
Yeah.
And he's, by the way, I keep up with him a little bit. I saw him a couple times over the last 10 years. And he is now, let's see, knowing your age, yes, he's about 19 years of service now, and he's a Master Chief in the teams.
Wow.
And yeah.
Incredible.
Did you?
Incredible.
As long as we're just talking.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear the story about what happened when he went to basic and he was supposed to be, you know, signed up for the SEALs?
No.
It was like one prayer concern after another. His dad would call and say, "Prayer alert! You got to pray for Blake. Here's what's happening." So anyway, first thing that happened was he was supposed to be enlisted for a SEAL route, you know, to be, you know, piloted towards the SEAL program.
Right.
And it turns out that somebody at BUDS, or not BUDS, somebody at MEPS, the MEPS station where you first in process, they got irritated with him because he didn't want to do what they wanted him to do. He wanted to be a SEAL. So they intentionally didn't check certain blocks on his paperwork. So he gets to basic, and his name's not called out on the list of the people who have to do additional training. He's like, excuse me, I'm on the SEAL track. No, sir, you're not. You didn't sign up for that. But the next morning when they called for the SEAL prospective trainees to turn out for extra PT at like 04 in the morning, he just went anyway. And nobody stopped him. So for the next 10 days, he went through everything that he should have done had the paperwork been right. Turns out he's the only one that passed. And then they found out about his paperwork. And he said the commander called him in, the commander of the training program called him in and said, called his name, said, we got an issue here, your paperwork. He said, well, sir, I was supposed to have been checked, blocked when I went to MEPS. And he said, well, it wasn't, so here's what we're going to do. I've never done this before. But if you're willing to go forward, I'm going to tear up your enlistment. You're going to sign a new enlistment right now. And he did.
Wow.
Another time he was going through the SEAL, the special physicals he had to go through. Turns out they come back and they say, you're colorblind. I'm not colorblind. You are colorblind. You can't be colorblind. And because you have to be able to differentiate certain things for target acquisition or whatever else. Mm-hmm. And so called home and said, Dad, they say I'm colorblind. I've never known this, but I can't read the things they're trying to show me because I can't see the differences because it gives you this thing. You have to read it, and it's colorblindness testing.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning, after a lot of prayer, he went back. He was no longer colorblind.
Wow.
I'm just saying. And now he's a master chief in the SEAL teams.
Wow. That's incredible.
Living down the street from us, dude.
Living down the street. I mean, yeah, I mean, there's so many people, like you were talking about in your monologue, you just don't know who's around you. It's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. We just took that whole segment talking about...
Yeah, we did. probably could just keep going, man.
I could. All right, folks, we got a lot more where that came from. Coming up top of the hour, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, former Delta Force founder, and now Vice President of the Family Research Council. We'll have the interview with him. Next on the list, Red State, Blue Stuff. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.